And first this afternoon, we go to Ukraine, where authorities in Mariupol say they've begun rescuing people from a bomb shelter at a theatre attacked yesterday. While at least one person has died after the debris of a downed missile hit a residential apartment in the capital, Kyiv. The UN is estimating this lunchtime that around 3.2 million people have either fled Ukraine or are displaced within the country. Joe Biden branded Vladimir Putin a war criminal for the first time last night, and the US president is expected to discuss the Ukraine war with the Chinese president tomorrow. A short time ago, I spoke with Kim Sengupta, defence and diplomatic editor with the UK Independent, who is in Kyiv. I first asked him, what's it like there at the moment?
Well, it's rather strange, Angus, in the sense there have been lots of periods where everything is pretty quiet. The city is more or less empty because, as you know, half the population have left and the other half tend to stay indoors if they can. And this is punctuated by quite ferocious bouts of shelling and missile attacks. And that's in the city centre and the outskirts of the city. Of course, you know, the outlying towns like Irpin and Markiv and Bucha, you know, there is quite fierce fighting going on the ground as the Russians try to take the towns to surround the capital.
And there's a dire situation further south in the besieged port city of Mariupol, with authorities there saying Russian forces bombed a theatre where civilians were taking shelter. It's understood up to 1,200 people were in the building at the time. The theatre's bomb shelter, it's been reported, survived the attack, but it's been unclear up to now how many casualties there might have been. Are we any clearer now in that regard?
No, not really. I mean, the one thing we do know is that there are some casualties, but how many and what state they're in, we do not know. I mean, it will be catastrophic, of course, if large numbers of those people trying to escape the bombing were then killed. And also the fact remains that the corridor through which the people of Mariupol were supposed to vacate the city hasn't really worked. The Ukrainian government blames the Russians for actually shelling the escape route. The Russians deny it. But Mariupol is the one, you know, at the moment which is taking the brunt of the shelling and the rocket fire.
And Kim, in the background, then talks are ongoing between Ukraine and Russia to find a resolution. But not everyone is convinced of the Russian motivations. The French foreign minister has said Russia is pretending to negotiate with Ukraine while pursuing the invasion of its neighbour in line with a brutal strategy it's used elsewhere. This is hardly the sort of rhetoric conducive to finding a resolution to the fighting.
No, I suppose one can, to a certain extent, Angus, see the French point of view because, of course, Mr. Macron, if you recall, just before the invasion went to Moscow, he thought he had come back with a stay of execution and he thought that, you know, there were further grounds for negotiation. And then, as he admitted afterwards, that while Mr. Putin was pretending to discuss details like the Minsk agreement, he was preparing to give the order for the attack. So you can understand the French being rather cynical about the Russian motivation. Having said that, we have had 5 days now of fairly optimistic noises coming from both the Russians and the Ukrainians in some detail. So, you know, I wouldn't dismiss it totally out of hand. You know, there are still issues to go through, but the Russians have certainly scaled back their rhetoric. They're no longer talking about demilitarization of Ukraine, denazification, whatever that meant, and some of the things they've demanded, the Ukrainians appear to have accepted, like no membership of NATO, and possibly a status akin to Austria and Sweden, where they can perhaps join the European Union in the future, but not NATO. So, you know, there are some steps which seem to have been taken.
US President Joe Biden has branded Vladimir Putin a war criminal for the first time. The Kremlin quickly hit back, calling the comment unacceptable and unforgivable. And Reuters is reporting this afternoon that Joe Biden is expected to discuss the Ukraine war with the Chinese president shortly. How significant do you think this development is?
Well, the Chinese are being seen as interlocutors, you know, who can do some good here. The Russians, as you know, have been asking the Chinese for help, excuse me, both militarily and economically as well. The Chinese do, of course, have the precision weaponry the Russians seem to lack at the moment, and it's a question of whether they actually take that step of supplying them. But the Chinese, interestingly, Angus, yesterday the Chinese ambassador in Kiev, or rather in Lviv, they moved, of course, in Ukraine, praised the fortitude and resilience of the Ukrainian people. You know, it's the first time that that kind of language is being used by China. So, you know, perhaps the Chinese support for Russia is not quite as strong as it has been in the past, and maybe, you know, the Chinese can act as a kind of moderating influence on Mr. Putin.
Kim Sengupta speaking with me a short time ago.